I know.
Well, it looks like we have everyone, or just about everyone. Give me a chance just to make a quick announcement. We are recording the audio of today's seminar, and so if there's anyone you know who could not be here today, or if there was something that Shannon or anyone else said that you missed, then give us a little bit of time, and we're going to have the audio and then also any of the handout online on our church's website. We'll do our best to get that out to you, and you can share that with others or go back and re-listen to the seminar as well. I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes me a little while in the morning to get going, and you might have missed one or two things early on this morning. My name is Stephen Brandon, and I serve as a care pastor here at Fellowship. It's so good to see so many faces and people that I know and recognize. But if we haven't met or you're new to Fellowship, our care team here at Fellowship is a group of pastors and coordinator who minister to our church body in all things congregational care. That's a little bit of an old school word for it, maybe, but it's going to be things like hospital visits, homebound visits, funerals, weddings, biblical counseling. All of the care pastors on our staff have some manner of biblical counseling, equipping, and training. It's our role. We're not the only ones, but we think of ourselves as kind of that tip of the spear. We're going to do our best to care for and love on our church family from times of joy and celebration to times of crisis or discouragement. And so we host ministry events like this today, things from kind of a bookend, premarital ministry to midday for our seniors and everything in between. So if you are new to Fellowship, welcome to our campus. We're so glad that you're here. You're here today. Today we're going to talk our last session, and I know this last session is the only thing keeping you, but we're the only thing between you and lunch. So we're going to hustle, right? Hogs don't kick for a little while, but lunch is almost here. Tummies are growling, so we won't keep you long. But we do want to talk about the funeral planning process here at Fellowship. Take a few minutes to put the fun in funeral. Yep. Thank you for that forced laughter. I appreciate it. Again, I'm Stephen Brandon. In just a minute, you'll hear from Jemily Kinsler. She is my teammate. She is an incredible minister of the gospel, Jemily. She's our funeral coordinator who excels in organization and administration, but truly has a heart for ministry as well. So you'll get to hear from her more in just a minute. Actually, I have a slide for that. Here we go. A little laughter this morning. Our funeral team ministry team is going to be primarily, me as the care pastor that leads out in funeral ministry. But then, of course, Jemily Kinsler is our one and only funeral coordinator. So if you have the need to plan a funeral, then we are who you will most likely be ministered to by. And without a doubt, it'll be, Jemily as our funeral coordinator. But thinking about the 30,000-foot view of funeral ministry here at Fellowship, and we truly mean it that way, funeral ministry. It's not just an event on the calendar or something that we do from rote memory. We truly want to minister to families and loved ones in their need of funeral planning and of sorrow and grief after a loved one has passed. And so for that reason, you'll find here at Fellowship that we are going to minister to you in more than the X's and O's, more than the fine details. We want to certainly work well with the funeral home, but we see the funeral home as a partner of ours. We are not in competition, but we want to uphold our biblical call as pastors to minister and fulfill that duty of the local church and not just abdicate that to a funeral home in the community that you may or may not be able to afford. And so that's our ministry philosophy. That's our vision of funeral ministry. I bet you never thought funeral ministry had a vision, but that is certainly ours. Jemily and I and the care team take very serious our commitment to caring for people through this experience, not just getting the job done. So that's why you'll want to connect with us. You'll hopefully be able to trust us as we care for you. That does not mean that you have no need to do any preliminary work or advanced work with a funeral home or with some of the things that Shannon talked about earlier when it comes to getting your ducks in a row for a funeral, or maybe it is talking with a loved one to learn funeral details. please don't let me mislead you that way. You can certainly do all manner of preparatory work with a funeral home or with your loved ones. But I just want you to know that that's the role we see ourselves in as pastor and care team, wanting to lead out and partner well with the funeral home, but they come alongside us and serve with us here at Fellowship. So with that kind of vision cast, wanting you guys to know that this is our passion, our love, our priority to minister to you and be there with you, what about the process? Let's talk just a little bit about the literal things that you can expect to happen. Number one, you would give Fellowship a phone call to let us know that your loved one passed. Or maybe we get word, we get news. Somebody sends us a text message or somebody calls the care team that I like Ferdinand used the name Sam, that Sam passed away. So either you will get a phone call from a care pastor, or if you are there by your loved one's side and your loved one passes away, you'll call us. There will be a phone call that's made. We'll get in connection with you. And we're always really sensitive to that, but do give us grace if we happen to call a little bit too soon or just right at the wrong moment. We don't always know on this end of the phone exactly what you're going through, but if we've heard that Sam passed away this morning and we check our watches and we say, well, we don't want too much time to get away, so we're trying to minister to you as soon as we can, as well as we can, right after or as soon as we can after your loved one passes. So then after that phone call is made, you'll be connected to the care team. How many of you guys remember the Care Bears? I don't know if I'm in the yellow, I don't know what that is. But anyway, you'll be connected with the care team. And again, that's where we kind of go into action, loving for on you guys, caring for you guys, and not just wanting your business, as it were, but wanting to connect with you and care for you. So that phone call then is the second step, leading up to the third step, which is a family meeting. This is a little bit unique to Fellowship, and Jim Lee is going to tell you more about it in just a minute. But a family meeting is an opportunity for you, the pastor who will be performing the service, and your family to meet with Jim Lee and me before the funeral happens. Okay, and that family meeting has a twofold purpose. One is to iron out the details, organize the elements of the service, song, speaker, etc. And then the other, of course, is to also give the officiating pastor the chance to learn more about your loved one. Maybe they already had a relationship, and that's a real brief time of remembrance. But I've been in situations where maybe I knew your loved one in passing. Maybe Sam attended the chapel, and we've seen each other there, or had lunch together once. But this gives the pastor who's giving the message at the funeral the chance to get to know your loved one a little bit better. I heard Bill Parkinson say one time that the pastor wants to paint a picture, and you're giving him the colors to paint with. And so again, Jim Lee will tell you a little bit more about that in just a bit. But those are the three primary steps, if you will, the three primary actions that you can expect. We'll learn of the loved one's passing, you'll be connected to our care team, and we'll start the ball rolling toward the funeral and the family meeting. So real common question, what can I do ahead of time? What's something that's important for me to know? What's a takeaway maybe from our time today? Well, number one, that you would think ahead of time about your day and time preferences, first and second dates and time. Now, this is not the day and time that you prefer your loved one to pass. That's a little spooky, and we're not getting into that. But instead, once your loved one passes, then when you can get your wits about you, let's say Sam passes on a Monday, then you can start thinking, okay, then, you know, we've got some loved ones coming in. Maybe it's near the end of the week that would be better. So how about Thursday around lunch would be our first preference. But then if that can't, how about Thursday at 2? Right? You're just thinking about one or two days and times. Most common funerals here at Fellowship are held around the 10 o'clock hour in the morning, 2 o'clock hour in the afternoon. Now, that is not set in stone. We just hosted one yesterday at 11. So there's all kinds of opportunity in that window. But just think, often people will think about a funeral in one of those two time slots, if you will. And just a quick word of encouragement. Some people prefer funerals earlier because it is such an emotional day and it's going to be exhausting. And so if your funeral's later on in the day, sometimes that can be a lot of anxious waiting, and that can be a lot of anxious thumb twittering, and that kind of a thing. And so maybe that's just food for thought to keep in mind. But sometimes you've got thumb twirling, isn't it? I said twittering, twirling. I could hear you correcting me. It's thumb twirling. That you guys want to keep that in mind. Sometimes you can't help it. Family's coming in town, but that's just a suggestion. Yeah, please.
One of the reasons that some people really want to do the morning time frame is because the cemetery, if you're doing the burial afterwards, is they have to be done by 4:30 or something.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's very good. That's another reason why a morning is often a good one. Thank you, Jimalee, and do jump in any old time. Number two, the pastor for the message. That's something you could be talking with your loved one about now or choosing for yourself. What pastor is it that you'd like to do the message? Maybe even thinking ahead on speakers, if there's anybody. Sometimes just floating that idea to them, you know, and saying, hey, Jimalee, I'd really like you to share at my funeral. I obviously don't know when it's going to be, but could you just have that in mind? And so you're sort of priming the pump on some people, but then definitely once your loved one passes, we will give you all the opportunity to connect with the pastor, even if that pastor's here on staff, because that's a really personal invitation that we want to give to you all to make. So we step out of that, and so if you want to reach out to Brandon or Ben or you know, Shelby Smith or some of the loved ones that we have around here that are so great at funerals, we leave that up to you. And then also the pastor of worship. And that is something that we can help you with, because so many times we'll sit down with a family and they say, oh, I don't know, I haven't even thought. How about the guy in the chapel? You know, and that's great. And we're happy to step in and help facilitate that. Or if you say, we'd really love it to be guitar led. Do you know someone on staff who plays the guitar? And we can say, yes, we do. And we work with our lead worship pastor, Clayton, to find and minister to you guys best with who can make that possible. So as best you can, you know, often, number one is not going to be possible until after the loved one passes. But number two and number three are great questions you can get answered now. In addition to number two, who might be guest speakers? Who might want to? Might you want to play an instrument or sing a solo? Those kinds of things. Anything you can do to kind of put it on their radar that, hey, in the next, you know, 3, 5, 10, 20 years when I pass, would love for you to be a part of that with us. Okay, so now I want to give it over to Jimalee for just a minute. That's going to be impossible to read. Don't panic. This is just a visual of what we send to you. So back here in the process between step number two and step number three, we will send you an email. And in that email will be two documents. One, the family funeral meeting document, which Jimalee is just about to tell you about. And number two, I'll also send you a list of commonly requested hymns. So if you haven't had the opportunity to talk that out with your loved one or even for yourself, we'll shoot that to you to sort of get your mind, you know, going and jogging your memory on some really great hymns as well. And that's what I mean when I say this is a ministry for us. We don't just sit back and say, call us when you're ready or anything silly like that. So we will send this family ministry meeting document and also a list of suggested songs. So I'm going to ask Jimalee, because it's she and I that are in that meeting together, to walk us through a little bit of what that family meeting is like.
This feels very normal, me taking over for you. or step all over what he's talking about. Okay, funeral home involvement is one of the first things that I ask about in the family meeting, because I normally contact the director. You've already met with the funeral home, and you found a date and everything, and so I need to know who the director is and kind of how that's gone and what you've talked about to them. As a side note, well, I need to find out if there's going to be a casket, an urn, or nothing at all, that you've already done the burial or you're not going to do it that day. And so if there is no funeral home involvement at the service, they don't have to be here. I handle pretty much all of it. I'll do the flowers. We managed the bulletins as far as putting them out since COVID. We put them out on the table now. We don't have to have people handing them out. But anyway, those are the kind of things. Just know that when you meet the funeral home, they're going to push probably that they be here. But if the body is not here, they don't have to be here. Live stream. We live stream now the services. I text the link to the family, and it's up to the family to share whoever they want to with that. And a lot of times they'll post it on the funeral home website mm-hmm. with the obituary. The one we just did yesterday, they posted it on Caring Bridge, and so it was there for people to get where they didn't have to attend the service. Slideshow, we talk about the slideshow during that. Who's doing that? A lot of times family members have someone in their family that's tech smart. And
A grandchild,
normally, yes. Normally a grandchild. And so, but we talk about that, how it needs to be formatted, and that sort of thing. One of the big things is a memory table. If you want to have a memory table for that person, pictures, jerseys. I know in Stevens there'll be a Cowboys jersey.
Yeah.
I have had all sorts of things on the memory table, from Vienna sausage and a fishing pole and crackers, just something that whatever you want to put on there, we'll do it. Yeah. I can put that up and set it up for you, or if you have someone that wants to do that for you, you know, as a gift to the family, you can do that too. One of the big things is how many reserve seats to be made for the family. And that doesn't have to be done that day, but before the service, I just need to know how many seats. And that can change very quickly, as I've found out lately. But normally I do extra seats. So I share my phone number with y'all in the family meeting, and hopefully get your emails, your phone numbers, and from the family meeting on, I'm your contact person. So I'm the one you call unless it has to do with the sermon or something like that, and sharing information, that's the pastor. We meet in the family room, which is the living room over here. Visitation is out by the cross most of the time. Flowers that are delivered, I normally set those up. We don't use normal funeral home looking settings. I've really cut the funeral home out a lot in making it more church-led and worshipful and not funeral home-led. Guest book, if you're not using the funeral home as much, then they will sell you a guest book, but if you want to do that on your own, you can either go on Amazon or Crown Shop or something like that and pick up one. I will say loose leaf guest books are best, because if it's a large funeral, you can pull sheets out and have different places for them to sign in. I think that's really kind of it.
No, that's great. Yeah. Thank you, Jim Lee, for covering that. And I love you hear all woven throughout that certainly all manner of respect for funeral homes and so forth, without a doubt. Jim Lee knows everybody by name in all the funeral homes. But we've heard, and I'll say it on her behalf, every funeral home we minister alongside will tell us that the family's in good hands here at Fellowship. And that's by God's grace that we have Jim Lee and we have a system down that is, again, not meant to, over-program things, but definitely be there for you and help make it simple. Because so many times, you know, families will sit with us and say, we've just never done this before. And that's okay. That's a good problem to have. Or maybe someone, the loved one died unexpectedly, and you're experiencing all manner of emotions. And Jim Lee and I just want to be there to kind of literally and figuratively hold your hand, and let's do this together and trust the Lord and depend on the Lord together for his comfort and peace, and we'll come along with some of the more, the process feels more steadying as you are trying to navigate this and do this, maybe even for the very first time. Yeah, please.
I'm a huge advocate for writing down what you want done at your funeral. A lot of people will say, oh, my kids will know what to do, I'm just fine with letting them decide. But why put the pressure on them? So anything you can write down, I think, is very, very helpful.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. There's a senior adult woman in our church who will remind me every 6 or 8 weeks. She'll walk up to me, and she'll put her little arm around me, and she'll say, now don't forget, in my closet is a dress with a sticky note on it. And that's the dress I want to wear at my funeral, in my casket.
Make sure you tell my son.
Make sure you tell my son. So she's got a little sticky note on her dress in her closet that's for her funeral. I said, yes, ma'am. I'll make sure that everybody, we won't bury you in anything else. So she brought it up yesterday, every time we see her. And you're not going to speak it into existence. Sometimes that can be a psychological feeling. Well, if I dig into this, somehow I'm going to make it happen or make it true. We trust the Lord and his timing and all of those things. But great point, Jim Lee. It's such a blessing to your loved ones to be, to be prepared. Just a few minutes for questions. Anything we covered too fast or anything we left out? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yep. That's right. That's right.
She is truly a gift from God. And I mean, she has it all covered from A to Z. And I can't tell you what an incredible it's incredible the ministry that they have and the gifting that she has with family.
Yes, she was just being kind enough to tell us how great Jim Lee is and what a blessing she is to us. Yeah, thank you, Shannon, for saying that. Yes, ma'am. So I'm going to let Jim Lee talk on that just a second, but tell us more. The cafe is where we might host that, but...
Yes. All of our meals now are done in the cafe. Normally a D group or somebody like that will host it. So,
That's it. Yeah, that's the thing that I wanted to be clear on and sure that you and I are on the same page on, which is that the church specifically does not, but we see an opportunity for D groups and family to be empowered to do that. So we provide the space in the cafe, but it's going to be a D group or a family that coordinates with Jim Lee. That's crucial. That if the question was if there's a possibility for a meal, but that would be coordinated with Jim Lee, and we've got the tables and chairs already set, but it would be up to the family or a D group to provide the food itself. Yes, sir. Yes, so the details we covered are for all campuses. The most common funerals, most often, most frequent funerals are going to be here, but we can host funerals at other campuses. Yeah. So we don't specifically, the question was if we coordinate for military services and that kind of a thing. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, normally the funeral home will do that. And they get the paperwork and everything set up and ask whoever needs it to be here. I mean, they do that. I'm just here the day of, so I'll assist them any way they can.
Yeah, so that's a sweet thing. We definitely have military services and tributes and those kinds of things, but that's between the funeral home and the family. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay, good question about cost. The question about the cost here. If you're a member here, there is no cost. That's our ministry to you. On the topic of finances, we see it an incredible blessing to give the pastor an honorarium. Your pastor's going to spend time during the week preparing a message and then be there for you on that day and then most often travel to the graveside. So an honorarium is always a gift that's a real blessing. But then also for the worship leader as well, they're doing the same thing, organizing music, making sure all the AV things are set and squared away and that kind of a thing. And so Jim Lee is our coordinators on staff, but those two honorariums are really nice. And then to answer your question directly, there is no cost for members to use the facility for a funeral.
Okay, what is the answer?
No, that's okay.
What is the suggested
sure.
amount?
Yeah.
Pastor, worship leader.
Yes, ma'am. No, that's great. Yeah.
It's kind of a sticky subject. It's awkward to talk about money, but I would say whatever you want to give. It starts at $50, I've seen, all the way to $200. So anything that for, you know, and it's just, it is a gift. Mm-hmm. So it's not have to, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's great, Jamalee. Thank you.
Money collected by the funeral home.
You mean to give to the?
Yeah.
To the people?
Who collects the money is the question.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I've had it both ways. I've had the funeral home give me envelopes to hand out, and I've also just received it from the family, mostly just from the family.
I'll speak to, I've been incredibly blessed to receive just a little bit more than that 200 number, and I've also received a tropical smoothie gift card. So anything in between, we're always just glad, and always we're not in it for the, you know, the payout. We're always just glad to serve. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, yes. We've had this conversation before with senior adults planning their funeral or children. You know, we're limited in that we may not know the specifics of the church or the funeral home. But if my suggestion might be, if I understand your question right about planning ahead, is to either meet to kind of talk through those things, because again, we would have a template for an order of service that we could send you by email. If that's what you're thinking, I've never planned a service before. We can answer as many questions as you have with our limited knowledge of where you're going. So we wouldn't be able to, you know, execute any of those things for you with that funeral home or with that church. But we'd be glad to sit down over a cup of coffee and talk through or over the phone and say, here's what you can expect. Here's what we've experienced. And answer some questions in general like that. If you have the question was if you had a funeral somewhere else, not here or far away. Yeah. Follow up at all? That was good. Okay. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. Tronica.
This is just a comment.
Yeah.
There are times when interpreters are needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So if family needs, if has a deaf family member,
yeah,
they can contact Arkansas Rehab Services.
Okay.
And speak to a woman named Cheryl Seymour.
Okay.
And they provide interpreters for free to the family, and more than likely will be contacted.
Wonderful. Great. Okay. Thank you, Tronica. Yeah. So great point. Thank you, Tronica. Tronica is a dear friend of mine, and she's in the chapel interpreting. And she said, if you have that need, Arkansas Rehab Services is who you, for the deaf, Arkansas Rehab Services for the deaf is who you would contact. And they, Cheryl Seymour is the name, jot that down. And that's who you'd want to be in touch with. Great, great point. Yep. Yes, ma'am. In the back. Yeah. So we definitely saw a lot of change during COVID, more than I care to remember, including arrows on the floor and everybody move in one direction and out the other direction and, you know, look at each other but don't touch each other and all the things that brought the global pandemic brought with it. But I think at this point, you may be pleased or encouraged to know that there has returned a sense of worship and family and being together. You're not going to find any more protocols or restrictions that once were during the pandemic. Those have all been, you know, loosened and no longer in place. And so that's why we do strive to and are committed to a worship experience, because as I was reminded yesterday at a funeral, humor is a nice anecdote, but it can't be the foundation for our hope. It can't be the thing that sustains us. And so you'll find at a fellowship funeral, if you will, that overemphasis on the gospel, the foundation of the gospel, and then, of course, great stories, great remembrance. But we're not going to be afraid to embrace the reality of death, because that's what makes the gospel so beautiful. I've only ever bought one big diamond once in my life, but I remember the jeweler put that diamond on what? A black felt or velvet backdrop, because it's on that that it was so beautiful to see. And so when we lean into and experience the grief and the sorrow, that's what makes Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, so incredible, is because that's what gives us hope. So we do invite people who are in attendance to stand and sing. That's completely up to the family, should the family not prefer that. But that's more and more common, is the worship leader will actually lead in song that are on the screen, stand and sing together. I love seeing people worship at a funeral. Not that you have to do that, but universal signal for worship, I don't know. But then also, yeah, we definitely embrace the sorrow. We embrace the cheers and the tears, like Brandon often says. Yeah. So, anything else? Any other question? Okay, great. Oh, yes, ma'am.
They may have already answered this, but if your family member is not a member of the church, can they?
Right, good question. If your family member is not a member of the church, if you're a member of the church, we're honored to host your loved one's funeral here. Yeah, if they didn't maybe have a church home, or so many times we'll get a call, well, my grandpa hadn't been really back in church since COVID, and that's, you know, or they were in between churches, not a problem. If you're a member here, we are honored to serve you in that way. We draw the line at pet funerals. You'd be okay with it, but human loved ones are really where we are. You can see Jimily after for pet funerals. But hey, I hope that this has been a blessing to you. Again, this will be a recording that hopefully you can pick up. Reach out to the care team, care@fellowshipar.com, if you have any follow-ups or any more questions. We're all finished. Yeah, great, okay. Trish, did you have any closing thoughts or anything you wanted to say? No. Have a great day and know that you are loved by Jesus and your care team. Have a great rest of the day. If you need a ride, your chauffeur, Chris, is here and waiting. We love you all.